This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of the service will be given at the close of the program.
Confrontational Christianity is often soft-pedaled in our day. Why? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has come and has revealed to us the truth. We live so often in a world that does not know the truth, that is always trying to soft pedal that which is not right. But we pray that we in the Christian church may have had ears opened by the Spirit, that we may hear not only the gospel, that Jesus has died for our sins, but also why he had to die. Speak to us through your word in this area of life today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, Christianity is a lifelong walk with Jesus Christ every day of your life. When Jesus returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to earth, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere present. You see, if Jesus stayed here, and he had done the work of the Holy Spirit too, because he was a physical body, he could only be at one place at one time. But when he sends the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can be in the life of every Christian. And there he does his work in teaching us hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, what God wants us to do. His work today in this lifelong journey is recorded for us in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 8. When he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Those are the words that I want to center our thoughts on today. Now, there is no question that the Holy Spirit has always been here. He is a part of the triune God. He is the Holy Spirit. In other words, he is the one who came in a very special way on Pentecost Sunday. And here and since then, there has been that special power that, as someone said, has turned the world sometimes upside down. If the power of the Holy Spirit had not been with those early disciples, it is evident that no such things could have happened as did. The Christian faith could not have grown as rapidly as it did. It could not have gone to all parts of the world as it went in those difficult days. It spread like wildfire. When the people spoke and lifted up Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, people's hearts were open and their minds were open and they knew God had spoken to them. That was that living spirit with Jesus Christ every day of their lives. Now you stop and think, and what I'm trying to do here is to show the power in the church is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not happen to be of the charismatic persuasion. In other words, in the denomination that I was raised in, we did not basically talk in tongues and do some of the other things that charismatic Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, do. But because we have been so afraid sometime to let our emotions run away with us, we have not really put enough emphasis on the Spirit's work. Until you can almost get the conclusion that sometimes the enemies of Christ in the real sense of the word realize more his power than those of us who claim to be his disciples. Why have dictators and emperors through the years wanted to quiet the voice of the church? Because they knew how powerful it was. Why did Adolf Hitler want the church closed and the Bibles burned and the voice of dynamic leaders in the church muffled? He knew the power of that church. He might not have known that it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know what kind of a theology he had or what he had been trained in. But Hitler knew that it was powerful and it could grab the hearts of those people in the Reich. And it could turn them away from him to God. And Hitler could not stand that. Why have we been somewhat concerned in America that we not do too much with the Word of God in public places? Because we knew the power of that Word to convert. And if this was to be a free place to live with every religion having its rights, and those other religions did not have that power, then certainly we had to be careful within the Christian church. Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so last week in my sermon, I talked to you about the power of the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, to face us up to it, And I used that illustration, I believe, where Peter stood up and began to preach to the people on Pentecost Sunday after the Holy Spirit had come down into their midst. He was trying to tell them who Jesus was. And he was telling them that they had crucified him, but God had raised him from the dead. And they began to wonder, well, what is taking place here? And some trying to get rational explanations of all of this said, he's just drunk. Then Peter began to expound the word of God. And at the end of his sermon, they said, and this is what the word of God says, that they were cut to the heart. And they ran to Peter and they said to him, "What shall we do?" Now here you have a very ordinary man who had been a fisherman. He was telling the story of Christ crucified and raised. But behind those words was the Holy Spirit. And it made them ask that question. That's the way it is when people are converted, spiritually awakened in one way or another. When Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit into our life, we are convicted. He convicts us of our wrongdoings. Now today he goes a little bit further and he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of righteousness because I am going to the Father. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And it is these two words, friend, that I would like to call to your attention today. Righteousness and judgment. What does it mean to say that he would convict us of what righteousness really is? We live in a corrupt society, and sometimes we take a look at what we're doing and we think it's pretty righteous because the end seems to justify the means. Take a look at Jesus. The Jews saw Jesus as a spiritual heretic and the Romans as a very dangerous person, so they had to get rid of him. He was unjustly tried. They took him all over the place to find him guilty. And finally, they had to take him to Pilate because Pilate was the only one who can sentence him to death. Pilate talked to the man, and he says, "I find no guilt in him. What is it that's wrong with him?" And they went on in their babbling way to say what they found wrong, that he was going to try to upset the whole Roman Empire. And Pilate would take him back in again and would talk to him and come out and say, "Look, this man is basically a good man, but I got a friend here by the, not a friend, but a person here by the name of Barabbas. He is not a good man. I usually let one criminal go every year. Why don't we let Barabbas die in place of Jesus and let Jesus go free?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." Until finally, because it was politically expedient, Jesus was crucified between common criminals, and he died as a spiritual felon. Here you see Jesus suffering for righteousness. Nothing wrong, falsely accused, but dying because he stood for what was right. And at the foot of the cross, there stood a centurion who certainly had nothing to do with Jesus prior to that day. But as he lifted his eyes to the cross and saw that dying Savior, he said, "Truly this was the Son of God." And they put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, God brought him forth from the tomb. There was righteousness. Righteousness as depicted by the resurrected Lord Jesus, and unrighteousness as depicted by those who sent him to the cross. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that shows what is righteous and what is not. In this lifelong walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, day in and day out, will point to Christ and will say, remember what he told you to do? What you don't do and he's asked you to do is wrong. You've got a righteousness of your own. Your righteousness is often connected with what is politically expedient and personally beneficial. You think the end justifies the means. And we could use all kinds of examples. It wouldn't be right for me to have this baby because I couldn't really take care of him or her the way he or she should be taken care of. So I'll abort. That's unrighteousness. But you make it righteous because you can justify what you're doing. It isn't right for me to carry this attitude towards a brother or a sister or a friend or whatever it may be. But because it's so appeasing to others that I take a stand against this person too, I'll do it. That's justifying that which is unrighteous. And the Holy Spirit says to us when we're in some of these deals, look at what you're doing. Look at how you're destroying another person. This is not right according to God. Justify it as much as you want to on the basis of what the world has to say. It is absolutely not right. So, in his word here, Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince you regarding righteousness. So in this lifelong walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit being our counselor right inside of us, he directs us, he guides us, he strengthens us. And then he goes on to say, and he also will convict you of judgment. We don't like that word, judge, do we? We don't like to be judged. But the Bible is full of it. We would rather operate with this idea that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up. After all, you're only going this way once. Take your chances. See at the end if there is such a thing as a God, that he's going to have us all in the same boat. And believers of all kinds and unbelievers will finally come to that heavenly home. And so the Holy Spirit says, look, let me tell you, those of you who are feeling that there is no such a thing as judgment, this is what the Word of God says. We will all stand before the judgment seat. Just imagine it, friend. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As surely as I live, the Word of God says, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God. Every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. It's judgment day. And you spent your years on this earth. You might have left a bundle behind, or you might have left nothing behind. But now I have to stand there. And if I stand on my own, with no one to atone for my sins, it's going to be a pretty lonesome hour, here and in eternity. I started by saying we don't like to talk about confrontational theology. We don't like to talk about that part of the Bible that deals with judgment and sin and righteousness. I would much prefer to turn to the 23rd Psalm and hear some of those good things that we have recorded there. And that is a part of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will counsel us this way. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you a passage from Jesus that really brings us peace. But if we think that we're going to come to the end of the road without judgment, we are simply kidding ourselves. We experience some judgments right here as far as this world is concerned. Let a child grow up in your home, and you do not cause him to honor the father and the mother. He can run it all over you. You're setting a pattern. And one day, you will be judged for that. Likely that child will come back and give you a great deal of grief. He's not learned what it was to discipline. He's not learned what it was to be told, this is right, this is wrong. That doesn't mean that we do that with beating. That means that we take the time out to say, now look, this is not the right thing for you to do. But then that judgment at the end of the world. So as we come to the end of this sermon, and we see that this Holy Spirit is in our hearts and he's using the Word of God to send us on our way, and we begin to get a little bit squeamish about it all and say, well, maybe I don't want this Christianity. Here is a word. And Jesus says, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit bring this to you too. I tell you the truth, our Lord says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. More literally, the translation should go, he who believes in me has passed out of the judgment into life. I just said we'd have a judgment before God Almighty. But when that day comes and we are in Jesus Christ and we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he will stand there and say, Father, they're mine. They are cleansed through the blood that I shed. They are forgiven. And the Father will say, well done. Come into my kingdom. You are my child. That's what Christ came for, to give you and me an eternal place in heaven where we can live with him. Is there anything better? I think not. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit, confrontational, finally leading us home to the cross. Listen to him carefully, friend. Never again will you have a counselor like he is. Amen.
Come.
Father, we thank you that you can be confrontational, telling us who we are. But we thank you that after we have been brought to that conviction, we may hear you say in all of your mercy and love, your sins are forgiven. You have passed out of judgment into life. Bathe our souls in this gospel, and let the Holy Spirit do his work in our heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray today's gospel message may comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent on the free will donations of our listening family. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift as a part of your estate planning. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders currently broadcasts over 18 radio stations in 9 states, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. We are grateful you chose to worship with us today and pray you will worship with us next Sunday on this station. Christian Crusaders is now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.